family gets involved. And then as we saw with other players, they just leave for more money. I mean, that's one of the main reasons Zibanejad wanted out. He wanted more money. Same with Silverberg. He wanted more money. Those two guys are pretty good NHL players right now, and they're not in Ottawa, and they could be.
Mark Stone's on Four Nations, right? So
exactly.
Ottawa Senator captain.
Yeah. But
on that note, I think you are tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM. Ani Nichkiwink, Doug Farquhar, Indigenous Cause. Sean Story. And here we go, Aboriginal Voices on this beautiful 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. Wasn't that a gorgeous day?
It was breathtaking, Douglas.
Yeah, right. Okay. More than breathtaking. It was absolutely spectacular.
Well, isn't that what breathtaking means?
No, that cold is breathtaking.
No.
No, it wasn't cold like that. Oh,
get in the now.
The wind? Okay. Tell me something.
What do you want?
News. Great news.
Oh, there's this week, news at all, Douglas.
Yesterday was a stormy day here in the Kingston area. Parts of Ontario.
Some would say stormy at the border.
Oh.
But anyways,
you're going to get into that kind of news. Good luck.
Oh, it don't matter.
No, but I would like to talk a bit about broadcasting. Whether it's radio broadcast, television broadcast, podcasting, or print. Gunny, yeah, that's what that's about.
All right. So apparently, over there in Nova Scotia. An equal seat at the table. Why Indigenous journalists have formed a new industry group. Ooh. Mm. Sir Maureen Gugu.
Mm-hmm.
She is discussing the new venture. She's a owner, editor of Kukues. That may not be the right pronunciation, news, an online digital news site that's dedicated to covering Indigenous communities. So it says here that Indigenous journalists across Canada have formed a new industry group to better advocate for their needs.
So have you heard about this idea?
I have not.
No. Okay.
The Indigenous Media Association of Canada, IMAC.
Yes, I like that.
I do too. I think that maybe they're okay.
They have a sense of humor.
Use that. it was formerly incorporated earlier this month. So, So incorporation means
they made a business entity that a number of people could join. So.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to be Indigenous to be part of the Indigenous Media Association of Canada?
It doesn't say, but I'm sure it helps.
Mm-hmm.
So, Gugu, the owner, editor of the, maybe that's Gugu News, Gugu West News, independent website reporting Atlantic Canada, is the interim vice president of IMAC. She spoke to CBC Radio Information Morning host Portia Clark this week, the new organization, and why it's important Indigenous journalists have a seat at the table.
Mm. Now, this is interesting because there have been Indigenous journalists from across Canada talking about this issue since you and I met many, many years ago, and Gary Farmer was talking to us about this challenge, right? So
and that was back in 1993. He built himself a magazine. They have a radio station, I think, still in Toronto, Ottawa area. And she is this Gugu, Maureen Gugu, is also creating a juggernaut, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So she says last fall she was contacted by one of our founding members now, Eden Finde. So she sent a message and said she wanted to have a conversation with other independent indigenous media outlets to have a discussion about forming an organization. And what she told us back then was there was a conversations happening at tables where funding is being offered. I knew it would be about funding. Tables where funding is being offered or input, and she kind of felt that, you know, as a group, indigenous media outlets needed an equal seat at that table.
Hmm.
So I think it might be something of an strength in numbers, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Or
us and them.
No, but also, no, it's not so much that as a, you know, you and I talked when we were preparing articles or stories or things we were trying to do,
yeah,
to do research. That's the kind of ideas that they might have. Now, would you know Mi'kmaq ceremonial information or anything, knowledge of that? No. There are many Western communities that I don't know much about. So
says here that her website is the only one in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. In Atlantic Canada that covers Indigenous news exclusively. And that's kind of a lonely endeavor for me. I work from my home. And the only time I could actually network with other Indigenous journalists is when we are having these meetings online to form this. It felt great to talk about the challenges we're having and what sort of advocacy we need.
Mm. You know, when you said Goko is her last name.
Gugu.
Gugu, okay. And it reminded me, and I just looked it up, because in Anishinaabe Mo'en, the Ojibwe language, that is, in fact, the name for owl.
Oh, there you go. Looky there, owl.
Oh, look at that. Oh, so you've gone right to the
To the website.
Oh, I didn't do that. I shouldn't
want to read any more of that other stuff. I wanted to see what her website looked like. And says here, New Brunswick Elections First Nations discuss land title with candidates.
Oh, wow.
First Nations communities in New Brunswick fight for land rights in landmark title cases. Like night and day, First Nations in New Brunswick hopeful for negotiations with Liberal.
Mm-hmm. The new Liberal leader in New Brunswick. Yeah, this is interesting. So they're doing the headlines, and then you get to go and look at each one.
Hmm. She's got a story here on Jeremy Dutcher.
Hmm.
When Magic Meets Melody, Jeremy Dutcher's journey in revitalizing Wolastoqe. Through music.
And you remember Jeremy Dutcher here at Queens visiting at the Bader Center.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Let's move on, though.
Okay. Just jump to the next one, I think, on the...
Oh, my gosh. You want to talk about something else now?
One more over. Oh, no, that one, yeah.
So let's see here. Our own voice organization supporting Indigenous journalists launches in Canada.
Oh, not next one over.
So you don't want this one?
Not that. Well, you just did that.
No, this is a new one.
That's the one I want. Yeah.
Why did you tell me this one when you wanted the other one?
I like this one, Indigenous Journalism Legacy.
You like this because it's closing? Indian Time is closing?
That's right.
That's what you like to see, Douglas. What have we been doing for 30 years?
chatting.
We've been advocating for this sort of thing.
Not to close.
And they're closing. Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is awesome.
It's not awesome. It links to what we did before.
You just said you liked it.
I liked the article.
All right.
Because they tell us what's happening.
Indigenous journalism legacy ends in Akwesasne with Indian Time closing. So community demands led to the creation of the Indian Time newspaper, which published last edition Thursday. So back in December. This is old news, Doug.
It's okay because this is what we talked about. When did it start?
It was 1983.
That's not old news. It's brand new news to me because I didn't know when it started.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
So old news, it's the last one. Mm-hmm. Skitters. Yeah. So born in 1983, the community demands in the wake of internal troubles, Akwesasne Indian Times newspaper published its final edition Thursday as tensions returned to the indigenous territory that is severed by the Canadian-U.S. border. The shutting of Indian Time closes the final chapter on a legacy of journalism in this Haudenosaunee community, which sits 120 kilometers west of Montreal, stretching back to the 1960s. That at one time produced one of the most influential indigenous publications on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
There you go.
But they're closing now. There'll be a voice, says Marjorie Skitters, Indian Times' last managing editor. We will no longer be a voice of clarity. The weekly newspaper fell to the same forces tearing through legacy media outlets everywhere, broadcast and print. Indian Times moved to monthly printed editions to save money and staff. Continued to put out their newspaper without any pay since June, but it was too much, said Skitters. Faced with declining ad revenues, rising costs, debt, and the paper faced no option but to cease operations, she said.
So that's sad because it's...
It is. It is sad.
You know, but the quality of news from the community, but also the broader community, mm-hmm. not just in Akwesasne.
But this format mm-hmm. could probably be taken to a website, much like the this one.
Right. But it. But
the,
it's
Kukuwis.
Kukuwis.
Okay. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. Now? Very well done.
Okay.
But that's one of the, here's one group that's starting up and supporting each other, journalists, through an organization. And here's another one, the Indian Times newspaper, folding.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole struggle around trying to do journalism is a challenge within all kinds of remote and rural communities. So how do you get people involved? How do you get people excited about doing broadcasting?
Well, I think that how you do it is give them a reason to, I guess.
Mm. I thought there was reason enough just to share stories and gather the information from your community to share.
Now, well... The people writing for the newspaper, probably the folks putting together the newspaper, were no longer being paid.
Mm, right.
So that's...
So maybe that's...
That's something that needs to be looked at.
So that'll give us something to look at for the next in a couple of weeks. I'll bring back some information. We'll call around the country and see what is happening to radio stations or local newspapers or bulletins in each of the communities. How do people share their stories? That's really my question. And I'll also spend some time talking with teachers because they have kids doing a lot in their communities. So maybe that's the way to go. Teach journalists from a younger age. Would you like to say any more on this
issue?
No. Oh, okay. Well, you're one of the best people to talk to about this.
No, I'm not.
You are.
There are other people.
And no, because you've been involved in journalism for more than 30 years in more than just CFRC.
What's that?
You've been involved in journalism.
Oh, my God. Well,
longer
I wouldn't say
than the 30 years. It wasn't just here at CFRC. You
no.
Outside of that?
Other places, too, I suppose.
I know where a lot of the information that gets sent to me, and you've already read through them and talked about them.
Well, okay.
So we can have a conversation. Yeah. I like
let's
that.
Let's move along.
All right.
Maybe we could have some music.
I have some new music. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
It's G.R. Grit. And, Juno Award-winning Anishinaabe Métis artist. And the song I picked is an instrumental. Time is a Circle. All set?
Yeah.
Thousands of opinions are at our fingertips, but are all opinions informed? Does your information have a source? Is your social feed based on fact? Only facts can uncover the truth. Professional journalists are committed to balanced and nonpartisan reporting, to independent commentary. They cut through the spin to give you the information and perspective you need. Journalism is essential to democracy, a watchdog over the powerful, an independent voice. Journalism is more important than ever.
CFRC is active on every social media platform. Check us out at CFRC Radio on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and on Twitter at CFRC.
My name is Stephen Brooks. I'm an emergency doctor and researcher in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Queen's University. Out-of-hospital cardiac arrest affects about 35,000 people across Canada every year. The sooner treatment begins, the higher the probability of recovery. Neighbors Saving Neighbors is a pilot program to improve survival for people who experience sudden cardiac arrest in Frontenac County. Let us teach you how to do CPR, use an AED, and become a lifesaver. Consider becoming a Neighbors Saving Neighbors volunteer.
Apply today at frontenacparamedics.ca.
Hey, I'm Julian Taylor, and I'm excited that my radio show, The Jukebox, can now be heard on CFRC 101.9 FM out of Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. The show is all-inclusive. I only play music that I love and think that you'll love, too. So tune in every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. to noon right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And welcome back to Aboriginal Voices here at CFRC. Yes, we do appreciate all the time that people like Julian Taylor or some of the others, Logan Statz, you know, Tara Williamson, Twin Flames. You know, there are a lot of artists that have given us a lot of support here at Aboriginal Voices. So, Sean.
What?
Speak. You talked to, I played that one with the Frontenac Paramedics with Neighbor versus Neighbors on purpose.
Did you?
Yes, because, you know, that's a
is that a segue?
And it, yeah, it's meant
it's
to
segue,
be
is it?
A good segue into a big problem.
Situation critical, Douglas.
Okay, that's a medical term.
And we got like a slow pamphlet that the, who put out? Ontario Health Coalition.
Right.
They got like a little QR code on there. And you can like, if you're looking for more information, you shoot that QR code with your camera phone. Douglas, Ontario patients can't take another 4 years of health care cuts. Closures, shortages, and privatization. So this is like a group that's trying to get you to sway your vote?
I'm not quite sure whether...
Oh, you got one too.
I yes.
Is yours not looking nice? No, yours is okay.
I opened mine so I could read to find out a little bit more. I have been getting emails from the coalition, the Ontario Coalition.
From the Ontario Health Coalition?
Yes, yeah.
Well, what are they emailing you for?
Well, because during my journalism...
Is it because...
No, it's during my journalism... So, because we talked a bit about health before, we also talked about good food to eat, healthy foods.
It says here.
When we did the
doesn't
the whole,
say anything in here about that.
The whole bit about food security, and during the diabetes month.
Oh.
Remember that? That's when I started getting this.
That was
because
like a
someone
years
on this
ago.
Coalition listened to Aboriginal Voices.
Really?
And said, hey, they need to hear
who are they? I wish they'd put up their hand.
Oh, okay.
So it says here, stopforprofithealthcare.ca.
Mm-hmm. Do you know any people who have to go to pay for hip surgery or knee surgery or anything like that?
All of them.
Well, they just have to go out of province to pay.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But that's an option, right?
Well,
we're still living in something of a free country.
Yes, but the privatization part is what we're concerned about in Ontario.
Why is that?
Well, if you take the public health and the hospitals and the doctors in the system, and you you take and the nurses, and you take them out of the public system, you're not going to be able to provide public health for all.
No.
No. It's going to be those who can pay then get first in line.
Oh, that's the problem.
That's the problem, yeah. Considering that you and I and any other listeners out there close by have had the privilege of having an option where you could go to your doctor or you could go to a hospital. And now when you go to a hospital, you might have to wait a long time. Whereas when I was a kid, my parents took me to the hospital. I think I was about 4 or 5 years old. And I had no idea what was going on in that place. But, you know, they took me in and, no, right away. I didn't have to sit and wait
took
in a waiting
in,
room.
Did what was needed to be done.
That's it.
And then let you go on home.
And told them what we needed to do. And I went another time when I was, let's say, 18, somewhere around there. I had to go to the hospital because I did some activities that were a little more dangerous than I thought, and I broke some bones.
Okay. I thought this was going in a different direction.
But I went to the hospital.
Maybe a cream or something, a salve.
No, nothing like that.
No? No. Okay.
And they took care of me right away.
I was going to have to stop
you. 2 weeks ago.
We can't let them.
2 weeks ago, I was listening to the story of two teenagers. You know, they were 18 and 19.
Uh-huh.
So young adults. And they had been out doing the similar activity that I had done. Has to be with downhill skiing.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, you take on a hill that's a little more difficult than I was ready for.
More than you bargained for.
Yeah. Who won?
Well, the mountain always wins.
Anyway, but those young teenagers had to go and wait 4.5 hours before they were actually seen by
a
doctor.
Douglas, wait. That's it?
But that's all they had to wait before a doctor got to see them.
Did they pay someone?
No.
Oh.
That's what's wrong.
Seems like maybe they did.
No, they were.
4.5 hours is nothing, Doug.
They were in a small town hospital.
Uh-huh.
And that was what they got. Now.
I know.
There were 2.5 days in that small town. Okay, before they were released from the hospital.
Yes, that is the plight. Mm-hmm. The plight?
Yeah.
The condition. So our health care is not healthy, Doug.
Oh, no, it's on life support.
There you go, it's okay. On the life support. The for government, I shouldn't have said that.
No, you should
never
say.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I never said that.
Good. You just say one government.
There is a government, mm-hmm, that has spent more than $103 million in public money advertising in the last year. That's the highest amount ever. What?
That's the highest amount.
That's not even a cohesive
It's a different sentence. That was.
Here, let's go down here to the many public hospitals. Mm-hmm. Many of our public hospitals' operating rooms close evenings and weekends because they don't have the funding to hire staff to run them. Okay. Yet, Douglas, that other government,
right? The last government
increased funding to private clinics by more than 200%.
Mm-hmm.
Our local hospitals were forced to leave patients waiting. I don't think they're forced. Closed services and paid double the cost for staff for profit staffing agencies rather than hire in permanent local staff.
Yeah, and see, that's a bit of a problem. We get the nurses in to talk about that because a lot of nurses are now in a project called travel nurses. And so you can be a travel nurse, so you get paid, and then the agency that you register with to work for finds a place for you to go to.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then sends you off to whatever hospital. Let's say it's the Napanee Hospital, because sometimes they don't have enough nursing staff because people are sick or they've used up all their work time without having to go into overtime. So the travel nurses are called in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that they're not qualified. It's the fact that the agency that's sending them in takes some of the money that the government pays for it. So why don't they just pay all the nurses and hire more on staff? Okay, that's my question.
I mean, I have answers, but...
I'm listening. Okay. Yep.
I have thoughts, I guess. Oh. Thoughts that I don't want to share right now with the open mic.
Mm-hmm. No, we'll have to cue up some music.
Probably should.
Yeah. Do one more. Because this is really...
Oh, neat. In 2016, before that government was elected, 1.3 million Ontarians did not have a family doctor. By July 2024, there were 2.5 million Ontarians without a family doctor.
Wow, 1.3 million, you said, in 2016.
Almost double.
Wow.
But...
I'm not going to ask you if you have a family doctor.
Never mind, I ain't even going to say that. I do have a family doctor.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Now, some places in Canada, not Ontario, some places in Canada, they're asking their doctors to do triage or to take the number of people the 2,500 people on their, quote, roster, so they're paid for all those people. And if they're healthy like you, then yeah, you go to the doctor once every couple of years. So they are now releasing people like you, like that.
Like you go maybe when healthy, you have a problem.
And the only time you really go to the doctor is when you have a problem. Or like me, who went in to see my family doctor and got a little shock and sent me off somewhere else.
Yeah.
In a hurry.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So having a family doctor is important.
Definitely. It is very important. I don't think there's there is not an easy answer to this problem.
No.
And I don't think it matters what government is in there.
There you go. But that should be something that people who are thinking about.
I don't think that something like this is helpful.
Why not? Makes you think.
Well, but it's skewed, right?
It is skewed.
It's skewed against
what... We're telling you the truth about 2016 to 2024.
Yeah.
Those are stats. They got nothing to do with this? Yeah. It's just a challenge. What about closing different departments? You know, go to a small town like Fort Erie. They closed the hospital right down. Gone. So, so if you live in that little town of Fort Erie.
No more hospital.
There's no.
Now, was that the.
When they close the hospital, the closest hospital to go to, if they'll take you in, is Welland or Niagara Falls.
Okay.
Sort of a 40-minute drive at the speed limit. Okay? I'm saying at the speed limit because I don't want anybody to get hurt getting there. Or. If you can't go there, because I found out about this recently, that there was a car accident, there was an injured person, put in an ambulance, sent to Welland, the 40-minute drive, and before they got into the driveway of the hospital, they were told they were redirected to St. Catharines, another 30-minute drive. Okay. Not good, is it?
No, it's
the next
not.
Place was an hour away in Hamilton.
Finger pointing, I don't think is going to fix the problem.
They had to have a coroner's inquiry on this issue because
they should.
The person never made it to the hospital.
And they should. Mm-hmm. And
because they closed one local hospital.
Probably bumped because somebody had the sniffles.
Oh. Yes. Okay. All right. I have a song for you. And, this is Tujit. And it goes with this brochure that you say you're not sure about. And it's called Hear Me.
tusaayakka tanarnik tataminartut takumatarnik inuusarmik asitsiriyuk Ilennanga tusaatsugu teayo tusaavi We'll be right back.
Hudson Bay, on ships that took us far away, sailing through the broken ice towards the shores of paradise, where they say our new life will begin. I can't wait until my ship comes in, landing on the edge of Ellesmere, wondering if we could survive here. We were told that half would stay, the rest of us were on our way. Will I see my family again? I can't wait until my ship comes in. Can you see the sail on? I can't wait until my ship comes in. Our final destination reached. They left us standing on the beach, planted there like human flags that winter's fury turned to red. The hunter showed us empty hands again. I can't wait until my ship comes in. Can you see the sail on? I can't wait until my ship comes in.
Go! Say, we were given our languages from the animals, from the trees,
yet we cut them down.
Many things have been taken from our people, yet we are still here. Our languages are not lost, but simply resting, waiting to be reawakened.
Habitat for Humanity is an organization that recruits volunteers to help families in need build affordable housing and provides an amazing opportunity for students to give back. This year, we are working on several virtual fundraisers to continue making an impact safely and remotely. You can get involved with our club by finding us on Facebook at QUHFH in the Queens community or email us directly at habitatforhumanity@clubs.queensu.ca. We can't wait to meet you guys.
Have you ever been to Extended Family Kingston?
Stop by and visit our programs and talk to our staff to find out how our staff will support you.
So many things we like best are golf,
doing crafts,
hanging friends,
and gardening.
I like doing everything at EAF. We just love Extended Family.
Visit us at www.efkingston.com.
Come on down to EFK, located at 660 Baggett Street for a great time. Be a part of our extended family.
Come to Extended Family. Come and have some fun.
Love podcasts? Want to try your hand at podcasting? Why not make your mark and join CFRC's podcast network? Visit podcast.cfrc.ca. Check out the great podcasts already produced right here at CFRC and find out how you too can have your very own podcast.
Chimana.
Holding my head up, putting the guns down. I'm holding my head up, holding it high. I'm keeping my back up, keeping my back up against the wall. I'm holding my head up so I don't fall. No, it ain't too late, we ain't too far gone. 'Cause there's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head, and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. Taking the high road, putting the fight down. Taking the high road out of town. Taking my mind off, taking my mind off the fighting side. Walking away, walking the line. No, it ain't too late, we ain't too far gone. 'Cause there's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head, and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. There's more love than hate, and there's more right than wrong. So won't you sit right here beside me and rest your weary head, and let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed. And let those sleeping dogs lie in someone else's bed.
Country, I pity the state and the mind of the man who thrives on hate. Small are the lives of cheats and of liars, of bigoted news press, fascist town crier. Deception annoys me. Deception destroys me. Bill of Rights throws me chills, they all know me. Frustrated our churchmen, saving a soul man. Tinker the tailor, the colonial governor. They pull and they paw me, they're seeking to draw me away from the roundness of the light. My body, the trip is with power, backed
bacon and welfare. Please they arrest me, materialists to test me, pollution that chokes me, movies that joke me, politicians exploit me, city life jades me, Hudson Bay fleece me, hunting lost for me, government is bumbling, revolution's rumbling, to be ruled in impunity is tradition's continuity. I pity the country, I pity the state, and the mind of a man who thrives on hate.
Go, Sean. That was that last one was a really nice version, but you know that goes back to 1999, and that was Willie Dunn. I pity the country. Hey, you know, Leanne Simpson did a nice piece, slightly different than his. His is, you know, make you think about it. Leanne Simpson was angry about hers, kind of like what we get sometimes when we get talking about political issues. That's why we don't do it here on Average Voices. Yeah. Anyway.
Somebody remade that? Somebody covered it?
Yeah, Leanne Simpson recovered it. She's a poet, an artist, a musician, and she actually worked to create a really hard feeling about, if you listen to all the words in there.
Yeah,
that's what she brought out. And it's good, but we'll look for it. You can actually find it, and we'll play it right after the top of the hour. We got about a minute before the top of the hour. Nelson Little, guy from Manitoba, and he wrote a song a few years ago called Take the High Road, and that's what we played. But he wrote that because of a situation that his son had at school, and I think it was like grade 8 or grade 9 his son was in. And one of the things that Nelson Little said is, you know, you're going to have to take the high road. And he walked out and thought about it and came up with an idea.